This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome to the W12 podcast. Thank you for tuning in and listening. I've got to say that there's quite a lot of you these days that are sticking with the podcast, and you've had to listen to all of us moan and groan and negative, you know, lagging players off. We've done it a lot this season, rightly so. But after Friday night, I think you might be in for a bit more of a positive, upbeat podcast, I'm hoping. But let's go through it. And there's all something like that I honestly didn't think I'd be saying, which is the R's are staying up. There were times this season when I really didn't think that that would be something that we'd be saying, even up until the whole game. I was still really worried up until the whole game that we were just going to mess it up, that results were going to go against us, panicking, phoning Duncan, telling them we're going down. If we're looking at the away fixtures of where we're going, Barrow and stuff like that. But anyway, in typical QPR fashion, you're going to say, Doug?
I was going to say, I used to get those phone calls like nearly every day that you were telling me we were going down. I'd see your number come up and I'm like, oh no, I can't listen to him moan about it again.
Yeah, times the pod by like 100, and that's how moany I get, which is quite a lot. But in typical QPR fashion, out of nowhere, we've been absolutely dire at home. We're playing arguably one of the best teams ever seen in the Championship, especially on paper. Dreading the game on Sky, Friday night, and we go and deliver probably one of the best performances I can recall at home. I genuinely was trying to wrap my brain. I came up with the Cardiff game at home. That's the one that stuck in my head. I could be wrong. Clive will correct me, I'm sure, but that 6-1 at New Year's Day, where we were as dominant as we were, and we just ran complete riot and controlled the game. There's probably a lot more than that, but that's the one that came to mind. But unbelievable performance, which we'll get stuck into in a second. But just quickly, on the pod this week, we've got Duncan McCready. How are you, mate?
Yeah, all good. Apart from the fact I'm in the shithole that is Cardiff.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that where you are?
That's where I am, yeah. I haven't worn my QPR shirt around town yet. Not brave enough for that.
Nice. And we've got Chris Haberty. Welcome back, mate. Couple of weeks off.
Thanks, mate. Everything is going on, but no, very happy to be chatting QPR tonight, especially after, that unbelievable show in Friday night.
Yes, we're going to get stuck into it. And we also welcome back Clive from Loft for Words. Needs no introduction. How are you, mate? You good? You don't normally come on after a win, so I'm looking for a positive, upbeat, everything's rosy, Clive.
Well, yeah. I mean, I did say to you when you asked me on, are you sure, like, I'm the person that you want for this? But yeah, very new experience for me coming on someone's podcast after a win. And what a win it was. So looking forward to trying to be
sort of positive and upbeat, or I'd just go the other way and find like pick fault with it. Should have been five and all of that. Like maybe. You know.
Doug, do you want to take us through a bit of a summary of Leeds? What your views were? Obviously, great performance, dominant. Everything that could have gone right seemed to go right, and Leeds were. I mean, we said before that we need Leeds to have an off day. They clearly did. The pressure seemed to get on them, but actually, I thought that. We smelt it and we just took over and didn't look back.
Yeah, I mean, you could sense it in the ground before the game. Like it felt like it was a good atmosphere even before kickoff. Like sometimes you go to the ground and you get a little bit of like a nervous atmosphere. There wasn't at all. And then I think like the way the players came out first for like 5 minutes, they seemed to be go at Leeds. Chair gets his goal. Slight bit of luck with it, but like it just. Everything, like you said, seemed to go right for us, and then Leeds just weren't at the races at all. Like you said, we smelt blood, and we went and pushed, and like Chair and Willock like were pressing and harrying, and like actually looking like they cared for once, and like it's just like ultimately like the best performance of the season for me. Like it was unbelievable. I know the West Brom game at home, we like battered them but didn't get the result, but I just feel like. We were unstoppable. I didn't think Leeds, like, I know there are a couple of like chances, but we were just dominant. We outplayed them. We won every battle. Colback and Field were immense in midfield. Like, the defence looked comfortable. I didn't really feel that Leeds worried us in the sense that I was really worried they were going to score. They had those couple of kind of half chances. Begovic made good saves. I wouldn't say they were world-class saves. They were all kind of close enough to him. I just felt we felt comfortable, and I really wasn't expecting that before kickoff. I can't believe we came away with a 4-0 win. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, Clive, it felt like Leeds hadn't done any homework. I don't know. To me, it didn't feel like everything that they needed to do to stop us, they just didn't do, which many teams have done at Loftus Road this season. They just were particularly poor, weren't they?
Yeah, I thought Leeds took us a bit lightly. Yeah. It felt like they turned up expecting to win. And as Duncan said, like first 5 minutes, it felt like we were really on it and they weren't. I thought when Nonto, like twice in the first 10 minutes, is sitting down with not very much wrong with him, you know, that's a team that's maybe been caught a little bit by surprise by the atmosphere and by our approach. I thought, like, big credit to the manager, you know, for so much this season, but I suspect Leeds thought we were going to come out and try and do what Blackburn and Sunderland had done to them recently, which was basically just sit in really tight and deep, try and frustrate them, let them come on to us, hit them on the counter. Because like Sunderland and Blackburn got results against them, didn't they? So if you've been watching video of Leeds, you would think, well, let's try that approach. And instead we went completely the opposite, like front foot, mega high press. Didn't look like they were expecting that at all. And like I was saying to the lads before we started recording, I was sort of weirdly relaxed after 6-7 minutes, even before we'd scored, because it just felt like we were at it. Like the game, the ground was up, crowd was there. Like we were playing so well, we were snapping into it. There were a couple of things that Leeds did early that just made me think they don't fancy this. They'd obviously had a Monday game as well, which probably helped. They looked a bit leggy. And yeah, like, I think they took us lightly and a little bit arrogant about it. Maybe the first goal, like QPR 1.1, you can't let Ilias Chair pick up the ball in the space like that and come into that shooting spot on his right foot. Like that's nearly all he does. So like to let that happen after 8 minutes, I thought the lad that played central midfield for them, Gruev, had an absolute mare. Just Chair ripped him apart all night. It was like he'd never even heard of who Ilias Chair was. So yeah, a little bit of sort of complacency and arrogance on their part, maybe, but I just thought we were terrific and tactics spot on, execution spot on. You couldn't fault any of the players. I think I gave everyone an 8 in the report and 1-9. And that must be the highest that I've given out for like 10 years. It was a proper sort of trap season performance for me. Just best I've seen from QPR for so, so long.
You know what was good? I thought Kenneth Powell was excellent. I haven't seen him have a really good game like that for a while. We used to do them week in, week out, but he's been a bit inconsistent. I've given him a bit of stick, actually. But coming up against Lonto, I was pretty worried. I was more worried about that than I was Summerfield done. I don't know why, I just was. But right from the word go, the first tackle we won, like you said, nailed Lonto. He was down moaning, and then he just didn't look back from there, did he? Chris, anything to add, mate? Not from your perspective.
I mean, I think the boys have covered it really well, but yeah, it was incredibly fun to watch us. Like, it was fun. It was entertaining. There's been a few points of this season when I've sort of quietly thought, like, we can turn it on and we will give someone, like, more things will come together in a game and we'll beat someone well. But obviously we have struggled for goals, and kind of De Fuentes' almost main aim has been to make us defensively solid, which he obviously has done. But that was a point where, yeah, just so much stuff clicked. Almost felt like everybody, so many times in games we've been like, right, everybody needs to be on it for us to get a result. And these players need to know, they need to be at it for us to stay up. And it's like everything came together Friday night. They were all on it. They were all like, there's no way we're going to get relegated. We're going to do it versus one of the best teams in the league and show everybody that the praise this team and this manager have been getting is definitely from our fan base, but from the wider kind of Championship fan base is right. But interestingly, 8 of that starting 11 played the Leeds away game, which was one of the worst performances of the season. We did absolutely nothing that night. So De Fuentes has managed to get the majority of that team to be completely different and to say, like Clive just said, one of the best performances in the last 10 years. Like, that's mental to do.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing about Willock and Chat, I noticed it at Hull. He looked like someone who was looking for a contract. But again, you've definitely seen a different Willock in the last couple of months. But he's certainly, the rumours were that he's already signed a pre-contract to Sunderland. I can't imagine that to be true. I just think that on a free transfer, I was just talking to someone yesterday about the fact that one thing that needs to change at the football club is how can we let someone like Chris Willock go on a free transfer? It's so frustrating. Someone's going to pick him up in the league, aren't they, if he doesn't sign a new deal? And it's slightly frustrating but I guess Willock's kind of a bit of an odd situation, but it's not just him, as it's happened 4 or 5 times over the last 3 or 4 years that we've let someone of a decent amount of quality in this league go for free. And I'm just wondering, what do we think he's going to stay? Do we think he's going? Where do you think that these performances, these extra bit of performances, these extra, he's definitely been playing and putting an extra 10 or 15% in this last few weeks. 100%.
I'm a little bit cynical with Willock. I think, like, we have let some good players go. Like, the brighter Say Samuel one for me was the killer, because everybody at the club, apart from Steve McLaren, knew what they had there. And they let McLaren leave him out of the team for a year. And they should have backed themselves. Lee Hughes, Les Ferdinand should have backed themselves over Bright and just renewed his contract anyway. But they went along with McLaren not rating him, even though they didn't rate McLaren and McLaren was on his last legs anyway. And then by the time Bright got in the team and played well, they were like, well, do you want a contract? It's like, well, not really, not now. Like, if you'd offered me one last year, I would have had one. So that was a mistake. I think Willock, look, maybe make me look stupid and sign and stay. I don't think he will, because I think his representatives, and I believe his dad is heavily involved, are a problem in this. They've basically been eyeing up. You get loads more money if you go on a free transfer. You get a bigger signing on fee and a bigger wage because there isn't a transfer fee involved. So players like going on free transfers. Ryan Manning's basically made a career out of this. I think they've been eyeing up a free transfer for a really long time. For that reason, I think QPR offered them, he was one of the players they actually offered around in January to try and free up some wages to bring more players in. And I think the money that he was alleged for, Hull had a sniff at him, and the money that he was looking for in January was apparently just absolutely unreal. for Championship in this climate. So I think they're going to go on a free transfer. I think they've been looking for it for some time. So I don't think he'll stay, and nor should he really at the money that they're looking for. You know, we kind of got into this position in the first place by getting really attached to people like Stephen Johansson, Charlie Austin or whatever, and offering them money that we shouldn't have offered, really. That's how we got into this position. So, you know, if he's not interested in signing at a reasonable amount for all of his improvements just lately, and again, I'm sort of cynical about these things. I've seen players at QPR before suddenly start playing when their contract's up. You know, for all of his good saying anything, but he's got one goal in 23 games against Rotherham, and this is him meant to be sort of massively improved and brilliant. So, yeah, he's been good. He's been unlucky with injuries. I think he'll go on a free, and maybe now I've said all that, he'll end up signing and make me look daft. But that's what I think will happen.
That's what you think. Anything on Willock? Any views?
No, I agree with Clive. I think he's been putting himself in the shop window, whether it's to go to a team like Sunderland, that's the one we've hearing links with, but he's been playing for a new contract somewhere else, and he knows he can get more money as a free transfer. I don't see him staying at all.
Yeah, I mean, we've always said, I think that the problem is you get all really caught up, don't you? Right, this is what a lot of people have done, is get caught up in the moment a little bit by some of the players. You know, we've been saying that Admir Begovic, we've just, you know, he'll need to move on in the summer, but I've seen people saying that we can keep him now and stuff like that. And I just think that it's important that whilst Friday was a great result, great performance, and there is still some surgery needed on this team, and some of these players need to move on. Chris, Jimmy Dunn, mate, I still can't understand what we're seeing from him. I don't know, am I the only one who is amazed? Every time I watch him play, he's getting better. Is it me, or is he getting better and better every game?
Like, we were,
and I don't know if this is true, but we were touting him, or he was close to leaving in January to someone in the league, I don't know. He's now on a free transfer. I wonder how many extra thousand he might have added on to any contract offer with his form.
Yeah, but I think he's been in a fairly settled back four. It gives you the confidence. Again, we've kind of lauded how well Steve Cook and Clark Sauter have played. Again, Jimmy Dunn sort of playing it alongside those two who are in such great form gives you more confidence as a defender. Whoever he's kind of come up against this season since he's moved to right back, he hasn't been worried. He's still managed to get forward. And yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the Nonto versus Powell thing earlier. He was coming up against the best, second best player in the league in Somerville on performances this season. Somerville did nothing. He had maybe one moment, and that wasn't even against Jimmy Dunn. Like that tells you so much from Friday. I think, yeah, so many fans, pre that Bristol City game where he started at right back. So that was, when was that away game? February. Mid-February. Yeah. Probably most before that would have been like, oh, it's fine, he can go on a free. Not really that bothered. You'd get another centre-back in who can just be a depth option. Now, the majority of fans would probably give him a new deal and be like, yeah, fantastic. But, which I would agree with. I thought we should have kept him at that point anyway, simply because I think he has shown... I think he's always shown the right attitude, which I appreciate only gets you so far, but you want the right characters in the group, and I still feel he is one. That adds a lot to it. Not that this isn't a reason to keep someone in a squad, because football doesn't work this way, but the amount of stuff he does in the community as well, I think that we should mention that kind of thing. I mean, Don Ball was another one who did that. Not to say that is worth a new deal, but that to me tells a lot about a character of a person. And those are the people that you kind of want at your football club, right? We don't want the charlatans that we've had before, and the people who are like, okay, I've got 2 months left until my deal runs out. I'll turn it on now. And I don't care about anything else to do with the club. Like, it seems like he does.
Our defence, if we could keep it together next season and maybe add a couple more, feels pretty settled. It feels like something that we could go next season with. I don't know what interest will be in Clarkefelt or whether it's genuine or whether we would get an offer which would be acceptable. What isn't acceptable for him? I still feel like I don't know why, I just feel like an injury is coming. It hasn't, it might not, but it just feels like it is. Every time I see him going to a tackle or hobbling, I feel that's it. We're not going to see him, but I don't know. He just seems to keep going, but I still feel like it's there. I think we need another left back, possibly another centre back. But that feels like probably the most stable position in the team. Possibly, don't know. But Doug, what do you think, mate? Jimmy Dunn, eh?
Well, considering after 15 minutes against Bristol City away, I had Ben in my ear moaning, saying, why is Jimmy Dunn still on the pitch? He's going to get skinned. Like, why is he playing right back? Like, he's literally like...
It's my defence, though. He did. He did for that first 15 minutes. Like, I was right. It's just that the guy who was up again went off. And I actually look back to that moment and think, if it's Sam Bell, I think it was, who didn't go off injured, where would we be now? Because he was actually skinning him. And anyway, sorry, carry on.
But like, his redemption arc since then has been fantastic. He's just been unbelievable in that position. Like Hull, he had a bit of a blip. Everyone did against Hull. Like, you can't just single him out. Everyone had a bad game there. But I feel like he's made that position his own. Like, Reggie Cannon came in and can't get a sniff. Like, he's been solid. He's our outlet, our out ball every time from goal kicks. Like, it seems to be working for Marty's system. I just feel like he's literally taken the chance with both hands and needs a new contract.
Like we said, it's the modern way, isn't it? Centre-backs and full-backs. It's kind of a modern approach that more teams are doing. Clive, I think Jimmy deserves probably more time, so I don't know if you've got anything to add on him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, in January, I think Blackburn or someone was linked with him, and at that point, I was like, it's probably best, like with Rob Dickey, if we shake hands and go our separate ways. And like, Dickey's gone to Bristol City and been their player of the year this year. But you couldn't deny that by the time we got to the end of last season, everybody needed a fresh start in that. And I was starting to feel a bit like that with Jimmy Dunn. He had a game at Millwall over Christmas that I was just like, my God, like, what has happened to this guy? And if you look back at that Millwall game, Cifuentes basically killed several people that were involved in that. Like, Dizel basically never played for us again. Kakai never played for us again. And Dunn was so bad in that game that it looked like he was going to go the same way. So for him to come back in out of position at right back, which none of us, right, would have thought Jimmy Dunn right back. For him to play as well as he has, I just... And for the points that Chris said as well, really delighted for him because he does give a toss. We've talked so often about players that are just phoning it in and players don't care and whatever. Jimmy Dunn really cares about it. So absolutely delighted for him. I think at one point he deleted all his socials this year, didn't he? Because he was getting so much grief, and now he's back and he's out and about and he's that sort of character. So yeah, delighted for him and definitely another year. The bit I'm interested in about the whole back four is how much of what we're seeing now is what Cifuentes thinks will be us next season and how much is just Cifuentes working with what he's got. Because like Cannon was injured, wasn't playing very well. So he's like, right, what else have I got? Let's try Jimmy Dunn, like just throwing cards up in the air and seeing what works. I wonder if like Cifuentes, and he would never say it on mic or whatever, but the conversations he'll be having about next season about, well, obviously we won't be doing Jimmy Dunn at right back next season. Steve Cook was my player of the year, but do we have to sit too deep for the way that Cifuentes wants to play with Steve Cook in the team? You know, would he ideally... I mean, the priorities are goalkeepers and strikers, right? And let's go for... whether it's just Cifuentes has learned the championship and decided that you have to have this and you have to have that, or whether he's just like being really pragmatic and working with what he's got, because that'll dictate how we sort of reshape the defence and the rest of the team this summer. But yeah, goalkeepers and strikers would be the priority. On Pahl, he hasn't been playing very well. He was really good on Friday. I think Pahl's played 42 games this year and played flat. I don't think anybody's played more football. This is where you need Jack on your podcast, but I don't think anyone's played more football than Pal. So I've kind of been willing to give him a bit of a pass in recent weeks when he's been a bit poor, because that's a hell of a lot of football for someone that came out of the Dutch league and I played the season before he got here. He's basically played every game. So yeah, he played really well on Friday, but I have been willing to sort of not slag him off as much as some of the others when they've played poorly recently, because I think he's probably just knackered. We haven't got another left back really.
No, but on your point, I just look at the team now, and if you look at it without people out of contract, people who will leave, centre midfield is looking really light again. You're then looking at wingers as well, looking like if Willock goes, Adoma. So I just wonder whether there's more pressing issues in the squad than probably our centre backs. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, definitely. Know. And mate, it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know we've stayed up and we've put in some good performances, and Sif Fuentes has got results. But let's not forget how close we've come. Like, Friday was the first time we've scored more than two goals in a game, like, since Stoke, and that's the only time we've done it in 80 games. So, like, the team still needs a lot of work. We shouldn't think, you know, it's all sunshine and roses now. I think it's good that we've got loads of people out of contract and a bit more headroom and whatever, because, like, it needs major surgery. And for once, it looks like we've got a manager in here that you would actually want to have in charge of that. Like, it's money to deal or Gareth Ainsworth, is it?
No, another surreal moments that there's so many surreal moments happened on Friday. Sweet Caroline and Bob Marley and just stuff like dreaming, really. But the other thing is having the ability to be able to bring a Doma on with sort of 10, 15 minutes to go and just serenading him and just, you know, just giving him the opportunity just to be out there with his big smile. Like, it's just crazy that we were even in that position to be able to do it. But probably worth giving a shout out to Adoma. I don't know what his plans are next. Like, it'd be nice for him to stay in around the club and support the youth and stuff like that. I don't know, but what is it, 525 appearances, Chris? QPR fan. I think he's done it. He's not been great, but I think he's probably done. He's done more than enough in the time. He should have been gone in the summer, right? Last season, I think Ainsworth. I don't know, maybe towards the end of last season, he did enough to maybe in the dressing room, bit of experience, but he probably should have gone last summer. But still a legend, right?
Definitely a championship legend. Yeah, I mean, 525 games at this level, incredible. Still, I think the key point for me is, again, it goes back to an attitude point of view. He was playing in the development squad. How many pros at his age 37 would have gone, no, why the hell am I going to do that? Like, I'm not interested in that. I'll either collect my wage or I'll be the 19th man in the squad and just do that. But it'd be interesting to know his side of this story, but get the impression from the outside, he was happy to do it, happy to show kind of that leadership role to a lot of that development squad. Help them in kind of show what a true professional footballer looks like. So, yeah, that's hopefully a story for another day. Yeah, the opportunity to do that. But yeah, to, like you said before, to have the opportunity to bring him on at that point was great. I mean, I'm sure he didn't think earlier on in the season he'd have that kind of opportunity in the last home game to get minutes that wasn't like 1 minute at the end, just to have another kind of step on the pitch.
Well, Cook, there is some serious headroom here, then, isn't there, in finances? I think, you know, we're in our cycle, so we shouldn't be as tough as we were last season. There's some big hitters coming off the wages. I'm thinking Dizel is a fairly big hitter. Willock and Adoma must be on a fair bit. Begovic, you know, there's not a huge amount of loans that are coming off the budget either that are on a lot. So there's going to be a bigger budget available this summer, right? From what we know?
Yeah. This season was the difficult season FFP-wise, because your Eze sale was coming off your cycle and your massive overspend when we tried to get promoted under Warburton was still on it. So this time, the overspend coming off it, which should clear more room, assuming that we did everything we needed to do to get the budget down this year, which they seem pretty confident. I can't imagine they would have signed players at the end of January if they thought they were in breach, although sillier things in the past. Dizel's obviously on a wedge because him leaving enabled us to sign four players. I mean, the caveat with that is I really don't think we're paying Hayden and Hodge anything at all. And Michy Frey, I think, basically came for almost nothing on the proviso that he gets a deal for next year on quite a bit of money. And the one drawback is they have spent some of next season's money already in getting people like Cook, Colbatt, Frey. They basically paid them less this season because we're up against it this season on the promise that they would get another year next year, which is the attraction for people at that stage of their career, but on more money. So you have done a little bit of next year's budget already. But yeah, Begovic, who is meant to be somewhere near our top earner, you would hope and pray that he's not around. There should be some decent headroom to work with this summer. It's like completely the opposite to last summer. So, and like I say, there's a manager in charge that you would want in charge for that. So yeah, I'm bordering on positive for next season.
Dangerous. That's dangerous.
Yeah, the three times I've thought we would win this year, Sheffield Wednesday away, I was like, we're getting it together now. This will be fine. Sheffield Wednesday away, lost. I was like, right, well, that killed me for 2 or 3 months. And then I thought we were getting, and it's thought Stoke are terrible. We're going to go to Stoke and win. Lost that Valentine's night in the Premier Inn after a 1-0 defeat to Stoke. And then that basically killed me all the way through until Chef Wednesday at home. I was like, oh, we'll beat Chef Wednesday at home. So like, when I get positive is when you need to be worried. But yeah, I am reasonably upbeat for next season.
Oh, Doug, what do you think, mate? What do you think about the players leaving and plans, early plans for summer?
Well, like we said, like with Marty in charge, you just feel optimistic that he's going to make the right decisions. You feel like he's going to get in the right kind of players that he wants for his system. And with all the other players leaving, there's going to be like headroom, wages, money available, Sky deals coming in. That's the new deal that starts this summer. So then that's more money again, whether you use that for wages or transfers or just to keep the club afloat. It's there. It gives us an option to spend a bit more. So things are looking positive, and it's really like a hard thing to feel because you don't want to feel too positive, because every time you do, like Clive said, it kind of QPR kind of come and shit on your head when you feel positive.
Would you just love to go on your phone one day and see Ebereze going somewhere?
Man City, 100 million or something stupid.
Like it breaks on social media that they've agreed.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Be the deal. That will be a very, very good day if that day comes, especially this summer. Chris Marty, mate, I mean, he deserves some real big praise. I thought that, considering where we were at the Blackburn game, post there, I didn't think there was any return. I didn't think that he could do anything with this squad. He would have had to have been a magician. But what I've liked about him, we've mentioned it a couple of times, is that he quickly realised what he needed to do with a few of the players, Takai, Dizel, a few others, that he quickly moved on. They've just not been seen. It's not even like they've just not been seen. Like, Takai dropped for like fourth choice right back overnight. Dizel was out. Defensively, we've been absolutely sad. I think the second best since in 2024 behind Leeds. Well, how much praise does he deserve this season?
As much as he's getting, and more, I think. I'm going to start talking about him in actually a negative light, because I'm already at the point where I'm like, okay, well, how long can we keep hold of him? So that is the only thing that we, yes, there's huge amount of positivity about staying up and what we can do next season. But this is what happens. We're led to believe we're a selling club, right? That isn't limited to players anymore. That is management, that is coaches, that is anybody in your setup that is attractive to a better, bigger team than you. And unfortunately, he is going to be like the prize asset. So it's almost like, look, enjoy it for as long as we possibly can. And kind of don't think about what I've just said, because there's no point having that negative attitude.
It genuinely is. It genuinely is, isn't it? I mean, maybe fuck Salter, but the chair, no one's going to buy a chair, right? And then you look around, possibly Field, but yeah, sorry, mate. I really think about that.
No, but then, like, managers don't go for a huge amount of money. Okay. Like, Liverpool have bought a manager for 10 to 12 million euros. We're saying we need, like, decent sales from player sales to help budget. But but that's why we should enjoy this for as long as it can possibly last.
I think you're jumping the gun. Marty's not even all that. Like, what are we talking about?
I don't think any
non-QPR fans listen to this.
I don't think Sunderland's CEO is listening to the pod, mate, to be honest.
but it has been, the turnaround has been outstanding. Like, the tactical nous, and it's that kind of thing that we talked about Willock earlier. I'm not that bothered. Yeah, from watching Chris Willock, I'd like him to stay if the money is right. But with De Fuentes as a manager, I don't really care, because you know whoever we bring in, whoever fills that slot, De Fuentes will get the best out of that player and that individual. So it's kind of like the individuals are replaceable now. If you have a manager who's tactically got great tactical nous, which he does, he can set us up in different ways. Then yeah, it is a huge amount of positivity. It's just cutting out the few individual performances we've had this season where, like, nobody has turned up. So like the Stoke away game, the Sheffield Wednesday at home, which admittedly we're kind of gonna have. Like, we're where we are in the league kind of for a reason. Like, we're not going to be great every single game, but if we can cut out the ones where we're like, God, we would like beyond awful, then huge amount of positivity. Yeah, how many players has he turned around? We've talked about how many pods did we do where we're like, you could basically get rid of 70% of this squad and we wouldn't care. Now it's, I want 70% of them to stay. Like, it's that kind of difference.
Well, we haven't heard your Marty love, mate. What?
Mate, I just think he's unreal. Absolutely unreal. Like, I've seen read certain things about people downplaying it and being like, well, you couldn't help but be better than Ainsworth, and all you had to do was be a sort of a little bit saner, a little rest around Chris Willock, and it was all going to be okay. Like, I just don't see it like that at all. I remember, like, being on your podcast at the start of the season when we lost 4-0 at Watford, and you were being in the Watford, and like laughter rolled down from the back of the pub as everybody saw the team selection on their phone for that Watford game. And that Watford,
never forget it, mate.
That Watford game, like, first game of the season, keep it tight, lads. It was our kickoff, and we conceded after 20 seconds. We had the kickoff. We managed to give the ball away, a free kick away, and a goal away in the first 20 seconds of a game we kicked off. And Blackburn leads away, as said, with 8 of the same players. To turn that team around and keep it up with a game to spare, and you're bringing on Albert Adoma for farewell tours while you're beating Leeds 4-0. Like, if I'd said that that is how this is going to end, you would have thought I was mad. And he's done it without a particularly brilliant goalkeeper. In fact, a very, very poor goalkeeper for me, who sort of got worse, and I finally had a really good game against Leeds, and thank goodness for that, because he was aging years in weeks. I was coming back, like, you watch QPR on Tuesday and you come back and see them on Saturday, and Asmir Begovic has got 6 years older in the meantime,
it without a goalkeeper. He's done it with arguably and probably statistically the worst set of strikers in this league. Like, what, Frey's got one goal, Sinclair's got, what, three? Lyndon Dyke's top scorer with six. I'd be surprised, apart from Bollerum, if there's another championship team with strikers with stats like that. And he's like, okay, well, Steve Cook will score goals. Don't worry about it. Like, I cannot believe he's turned it around with this squad, with this team, with this goalkeeper, with these strikers. I think he's unreal. And the thing I really like about him is he's pragmatic over idealistic. You know, when he came in, he was talking a lot about Cruyff football and you need a midfield pivot for that. And you need this and that. And he's like, well, I haven't got that. So do I just Russell Martin this and stamp my feet and say, no, that's how I'm playing. You guys have got to adapt to me. And if we lose every week, well, I'd rather stick to my ideals. Or do I get pragmatic about it? Jimmy Dunn at right back. He's been so pragmatic. I can't believe it, mate, honestly.
Clive, you know, one last thing I've noticed is what he's done to Sam Field. Like a more mobile Sam Field, I think, anyway. A Sam Field under Gareth Ace, historically, has been very static in the middle. And,
yeah.
And it felt very uncomfortable whenever he went forward. Like, it didn't feel like he should be there. But actually, I'm watching Sam Field now, and he's kind of everywhere. And he doesn't become comfortable with the ball at his feet in the final third, which he did sort of 4, 5, 6 months ago.
And he's scoring goals. Like, one of the things that was an obvious gain from this team was goals from the centre of midfield, because nobody ever scored a goal from the centre of midfield. Sam Field would go months and months, and he's got 4 or 5 goals and scored again in the week. In some of Steve Fuentes' early games, Field was actually getting in the positions and missing, like Norwich, Rotherham, Sheffield Wednesday, those games around Christmas. He missed really bad chances. But it's just all of these gains that he's getting out of people. And another thing is, we used to say you've got to play with a back three and you've probably got to play with somebody protecting them because our centre-backs just aren't good enough. And as soon as you tried to play a back four like we did against Blackburn at home, you just get blown away. Now we just play with a back four every week. Of course we play with a back four. And it's just the improvement in the team and individuals under this guy. It's mad to me. I think he's basically a miracle worker at this point. And I'm waiting to find out what's wrong with him or for him to leave or whatever. But at the moment, I'm just enjoying it. I think the turnaround's been amazing.
The one thing I'll say, right, and I had this discussion with my dad, he was moaning a bit the other day about Ainsworth, like he does. And he was saying to me, though, and that Marty has had no injuries for 3 months. Borderline no injuries. I know a couple of people have been out here and there, but genuinely no injuries. And we know that a few injuries of this squad would have been absolutely disastrous. That's been a massive benefit to him, because I don't even think a few injuries to a few key players in this team in this run in the last couple of months would have been a disaster. It would have been difficult for anybody to get over. But aside from that, and I don't know if Gareth Ainsworth brought him in, was it him that actually brought him or hit the idea of him coming in, or whether we made that decision, but bringing in Ben Williams seems to have been probably one of the best things that we've done in recent years. And I don't know whether that's how much of that is down to Ainsworth, Clive. I don't know if you know.
Well, Christian Norrie may have been involved and would certainly like to take the credit for that, I think. But whoever got him in here, because again, at the start of the season, do you remember we were basically done after 60 minutes of games? And we were like, what is this guy on about? I remember him coming up at the fans forum and going like, yeah, it's deliberate. We're doing a slow burn so that in the back end of the season we won't have the injuries we had last year. And if you look, although I did think last year at all, and I've been fascinated by what's happened at Birmingham City this year, which is completely coincidental. I just look at it compared to last season. That guy, Ben Williams, didn't get the full summer. I think he came in with sort of 8 weeks to go. And if you are going to build fitness low, you do it in 8 weeks. But I remember saying on podcasts and writing on Loft for Words that I just thought this was mad, this approach that we're deliberately going into the season undercooked because that's going to help us at the back end of the season. But it's proven true, hasn't it? Like, Jake Clark-Salter is absolutely front and centre of success stories. I think if he plays on Saturday, or maybe it was he played on Friday, that's the most starts he's ever made in any league season in his entire career. He's never done 30 league starts for anybody before. So, you know, the proof is there for you. Because like you say, the squad hasn't got the depth to cope with any injuries at all, as we found out last season. So be it Ben Williams and whoever brought him in, another big tick.
You see, we seem to be making better decisions, don't we? Well, I'd be really interested to know where we're going on our summer tour, because absolute disaster every year. Last year, a professional football club championship, that was an absolute disgrace last summer, what happened and how it transpired. And Austria was just a complete waste of money, time and effort from everyone involved.
I had a nice time.
Well, yeah, but it feels like there needs to be something different about how our summer tour looks. So I'd be interested to see what that looks like. But aside from that, again, there just seems to be a lot of the right decisions at the club being made, Doug. Norrie seems different. You know, the place is packed out every week now.
Yeah.
Something different feels like it's going on. I don't know where ticket sales are coming from.
The thing is we were been kind of packed out most of the season there, even like under Ainsworth. The home form was phenomenal considering how bad it was. Like, we went and lost 6 games in a row before Ainsworth was sacked. Yet the fans were still going to games. Fans still wanted to.
We were doing it then, though. Whatever we've been doing, we were doing it then.
But I can't imagine. So, whoever's making those decisions higher up is getting them right. Like, Norrie definitely seems to. I know he's only 26, but he seems to be getting these decisions right. He seems to have his head screwed on and knows what he wants to do. And you just feel like you said, like, hopefully in the summer they carry on making these smarter decisions. We seem to be doing that. Like, the transfer window in January, it seemed to be smart additions. Like, Anderson, like, finally got his goal against Leeds, and he's shown massive signs of how good he can be. Needs to be a bit more consistent, but he's showing the signs. Hayden was a brilliant bit of business. Like, apparently we're paying him next to nothing, and he's really come in and steadied the midfield like ship there. So whoever's organising all these deals knows what they're doing, and that can only be a positive, surely.
Yeah. Chris, you got anything to add, mate?
No. I think, there's a lot of positive stuff from all of us. I'm sure Clive will stay similar. Then you think, okay, there must be a negative thing about to come right round the corner and kind of hit us in the face. But like I said earlier, we can't live with the fear of that. We have to enjoy the positive and the good times, because so much of this season, the past few years, has been a struggle, to say the least, and you feel negative for most of it. So if you can't enjoy the positive times, and makes us feel right, we can do something next season and be comfortable or whatever beyond that, then that's why you want to be a football fan, right? For the highs and the lows. So enjoy the highs. Don't just think about the lows that are there.
You sound like Marty,
I'd like a few more highs.
Well, hopefully that's what next year will bring. But yeah, that's what a positive summer would be. Fantastic. And that feels like the position we're in. Although there was one tweet going around, kind of Championship and Football League point of view, that was saying the amount of fans from different clubs that will be saying, oh, if we just make a few additions to X squad, we'll be close to the playoffs next year. We can really challenge. It was like, you could put 10 clubs from any league into that quote. And that's how you feel.
Yeah, but momentum's everything, isn't it? I think in this Championship, if you can get a bit of momentum going and you can take it, you can take this momentum or this feeling into next season. I think that's what Hinder does this season. Is we've just come off so bad. Everyone was in such a negative place that we just sort of, it was a car crash waiting to happen, really, under Ainsworth, that we all knew was coming, and it just happened. It happened. But I think that Warburton season, do you remember when we ended the season really well? And then the following season, obviously, didn't end well, but we started really well. And you look at Ipswich, and I just think there's a lot being said. If you can build up a bit of momentum in this, it doesn't really matter. As long as you've got some half decent players and a decent man, you can do something in this.
I would say the reason that we were in the FFP situation we were in this year is because that momentum that we built up under Warburton encouraged them that summer to go a bit nuts.
Yeah.
So we've got to learn that. Like, don't do that this summer. Like, we're all sort of feeling good about ourselves. The team's needs a lot of work doing to it, but don't go out giving 30-year-olds deals. Don't go out loaning Andre Gray. Don't go out, like, put us in a situation where we've certainly got to go up next year. Otherwise, in 18 months' time after that, we're going to be back in this situation again. You know, there's a lot of positivity around Sif Winters, and as you know, as I've just said, completely on board with that. But also, be a little bit careful at QPR about giving a manager everything he wants. Like, build for what you want QPR to be for the next 5 years, whether he's here or not. Don't just, Sif Winters wants all these players that he's worked for, and we're going to do this, because, you know, if it goes, he might up and leave, and if it doesn't, you know, he might get the sack. So, giving a manager everything he wants at QPR, manager gets at QPR, doesn't usually work. So just don't have one of those summers where we go, we've put a couple of good results together, we've got a good manager, because that's how we got here in the first place. The Willock, you know, if Willock would turn around and say, well, I'd stay, but I'd want 22. No, don't do it, because that's how we got here in the first place. But yeah, I'm in a much better mood than I've been at any point over the last couple of years. So it is a positive summer, but just QPR are like a little kid, aren't they? Like, just don't get overexcited. Don't, you know, eat all the blue Smarties or whatever. Just calm yourselves. Like, you know, just take it steady.
Calm down, yeah. You think we're going to go in the league next year, I think, don't you?
No. I wasn't going to say that I was going to get on the Marty party promotion for next year, but no.
What interesting thing, Chris, mate, about the we've got the second highest average age in the picture we've got in the summer that we'd be relying on youth this season. They're not a youth.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect. So we've got the third least amount of league starts for under 24s in the league. It's only Preston and West Brom below us. In terms of league minutes, third least, again, West Brom, Preston. We've got the second or third joint highest average age of our squad as well. Part of it kind of goes back to, I think, Ainsworth realising or saying at the start, we need characters, leaders, experience. So that's why Colback, Cook, Begovic, the likes of them got minutes. We've spoken about, I mean, every QPR fan has spoken about our youth setup and the amount of, or the lack of quality, any players coming from that. So the two things go hand in hand. But is it something we can look to improve on, either from a recruitment level, or if there is anybody that can step up? Obviously the Ryan Colley injury it's unfortunate. Would he have got a lot of minutes? No idea. We're in a very difficult position, but I feel we have a manager who would have gone, look, if you are good enough, I will give you the minutes. I'm not going to think, okay, you're 19 years old, so I can't play you. But you only know that when he is given the opportunity, and can he take it? So, yeah, there's nobody else knocking down the door, was there?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody, is there?
This is the thing, guys. Like, that was the big problem they had at the start of the season, right? Yeah. This should have been a real opportunity this season. We haven't got any money for any players. So this was a big opportunity for four or five academy players to step in. And there wasn't anybody. Like, so, you know, Chris Ramsey's gone, you know, his record is there. You know, you could never have asked for a better season as an academy manager to give your players a chance, because we were terrible and we had no money to do anything about it. And there was nobody there, which is why Chris Ramsey doesn't have a job anymore. I'm really interested to see what Norrie does with the academy, because he strikes me as a sort of Brentford B team acolyte, as opposed to someone spending loads of money trying to bring people through from under eights, when, you know, you get Alfie Gilchrist to
from your under-8s to your under-11s, and then Chelsea just walk in one day and have him away. You know, that's happened, we're led to believe, 14 or 15 times. We've received something piffly, like in the region of £700,000 for all 15 of them that have been nicked away. You know, I'm interested to see if Norrie, what his attitude and thoughts are on the academy, because it isn't producing. It's produced Armstrong, who they got from the League of Ireland, and Colley, basically. And this was the season when you really needed academy graduates, even just to stop the bench. Have them.
Well, I think that is an interesting one, because I don't know what we're going to do with him, and the situation we're in with him feels very sticky. It feels like someone needs to make a decision. I don't know. I know that he's obviously got an extension, but will he sign a new deal? How much does he get paid? What does he? Because we know that he's been a bit mismanaged over the last few years, maybe out of necessity more than anything. But he should have definitely been out on loan in the last 2 years at some point. But what, Dunk? What are we? Because we'll renew his contract. That's what I mean. But there's a lot of clubs looking at him apparently as well.
Is that
quite got the quality? I know what you're going to say. Well, I don't know.
I'm baffled if any Premier League club is looking at Sinclair Armstrong, because he's not tearing it up in the Championship. Like, he's had plenty of chances this season. He's had starts, he's had loads of minutes, and like Clive said, he's got 3 goals. Like, yes, okay, he's still young. Yes, okay, he's still raw. But then there's like a lot of 18, 19 year olds who are scoring goals at this level, or score goals in the Premier League. Like, if you go, I don't even know if he'll start for us next season. I really just don't know what we do with Sinclair.
Well, he kind of has to, doesn't he? We can't load him out next season. Without renewing his contract, is what I mean. It's pointless otherwise.
Yeah, I think he'll renew his contract, but it will trigger the extra year. But I just think I haven't seen enough of him this season for it to say he should be starting every game for us. I know his pace is a threat, but he can be selfish in the final third. His finishing isn't brilliant. I don't see him scoring 15 goals for us next season, which is what we need a striker to do. But I might be being harsh.
Yeah, I think he's an impact sub at the minute. And not a lot more than that. He's got so much to work on in his game. But as we've said, we've got a manager that is improving players. I'm not convinced Sinclair Armstrong is the sort of quintessential Marty Cifuentes player if he was choosing. So maybe not, but let's see what he can do with him. I guess there's raw potential there, but you know, he's been at a chaotic club that's been losing every week with different managers and whatever, some of which liked him and some of which didn't. Maybe if we settle down, that might help. Can you create a Championship Adama Traore out of this? Like, he can't finish. He hasn't got a brain. But, like, could you just stick him out, you know, like kind of like how we use Paul Smith? Like, right, we're going to give you the ball on the halfway line. You just have to run like Forrest Gump towards the lower, just banging across. That's your job. Like, we could even get stop and go signs. Loft flags could do it. Like, go Sinclair, stop Sinclair, run down the line, banging across. That's it. That's your job. I mean, Adama Traore played for Barcelona, and that's all he is, isn't it? Just massive roidy boy running around the place. So I don't know. He can be a frustrating watch, but look, there's something wrong with all of them, isn't there? That's why they're here. If he could score goals with his physique and his pace, he wouldn't be playing for QPR, would he? So you kind of got to work with it. I'm interested to see what he does. I don't think he's a Cifuentes player, so it may be that he just sort of disappears or whatever, but we'll see. I like him more than most people, I think.
I like him more than the other strikers we have. Though, saying that, I mean, that's not saying a lot, but again, nothing massive. Lyndon Dykes, I know he scored a couple of goals, but I still have huge reservations about going into another season with him as your main man. It's an issue. It's an issue. And if there's any sniff of a sale, we should be taking it. I kind of lost Sinclair Armstrong, lost me a little bit. I was always in his corner, but except for Wednesday, he kind of lost me in that game where he got into so many good positions, and he just, it was like watching it, like, literally someone just look up and go, oh my God, what the hell am I doing? Why am I like, and he had two big centre backs with him who could get it, who could get to him, you know, as quick as anyone. And then, yeah, I just, he kind of lost me a little bit there. But yeah, Chris, I don't know if you've got anything to add quickly, mate.
I think, I'm not sure anybody's really got the answer, to be honest. Hopefully someone at the club does. The only thing that I think is, if what player in the squad could go from, could have almost a transformative summer, and that's quite a strong term, to go from, God, I really wasn't sure about you, to, wow, you've changed a lot. Like, he's at the right age that that kind of thing is, it is possible. And I'm kind of clutching at a bit of a straw here, but he's only 20 years old. Like, the change can happen. We've seen it. It happens at the Championship a lot. Someone is like a bit part player for a team, and then suddenly the next season they are a key factor and they're really impressive. So, and I kind of switch, think the club need, they need some sort of success about a youth product. Yeah, he's not, like Clive was saying, someone who we've had since 12, 13. But if you, depends if this leadership want that kind of thing, or whether that was the old style of like a Les and Ramsey were like, no, we are determined, someone has to succeed, or whether Nori, etc., just like, look, if it doesn't work, it's fine, we'll just move on. I would like to see him do really well for us, but I'm not, I'm very much on the fence.
I've really grown to love Paul Smith, you know, as well. He hasn't, not because of his performances particularly. I don't know what it is. I just kind of like him. I don't know why. I feel like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not like I can sit back and go, no, his performances have just been outside. I don't know. I just have. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Honestly, I can't describe it. I just feel like when he comes on, I get a little bit, I don't know, I feel like he's going to do something. He tends to not do, but
it's because it's, does that make any sense? It's one of our only subs who's got pace. So you instantly go, ooh, he might knock it past someone and swing a ball in, but he knocks it past them and then he hits it into the freaking corner flag. Or he drills it so hard across the box no one can get anywhere near it. Like,
what I'm saying is, I want him just to have another season, just another go. On the, this next season, I mean, I just want to see what he's got. Like,
he's a squad player, and out, like, that's it. Like, there was a reason why he was in League Two. Like, and was a free agent. Like, he's a squad player. He'll stay. He'll be here next season. He'll get minutes. He'll probably get a few goals, a few assists. That's all it is. That's all he is.
Fair enough. Just quickly then, Coventry, we make some changes. Like to see Reggie Cannon. Will he just keep it the way it is? He feels like he'll just keep it the way it is, but I don't know whether there'll be some players that might get some minutes. Dixon Bonner, maybe. I don't,
do you reckon, Ozzy will be back in the squad to say a farewell to the fans?
No.
No?
I don't think so, mate. I don't know. I'd like to see Reggie Cannon. I don't know. I feel like a good pre-season in him could be the difference, because he's come at a really poor time, didn't he? You know, he didn't have a pre-season. He was in the midst of Ainsworth and the step over. But actually, I kind of think Marty might just keep it the way it is and just go out for another win. I don't know. What do you think? What do people think?
One of the things that's been noticeable just lately, you know, when they do the little cameras of the reactions on the bench after goals and things, is that Sifuentes seems to be really, really good at involving players, whether they're involved or not. Like, he's really good relationship with people like Larkesh, even though he's not picking them, Morgan Fox. I wonder if he might give one or two of them a go, just with it being you know, a start for Larkesh, a start for Fox, people like that. I mean, I'm not basing that on anything other than sort of pop psychology based on YouTube videos, really. But he might put Kakai on the bench just to bring him on. He does seem like that kind of he's a player's manager, isn't he? Like, players really sort of like managers like that do those little touches like Adoma. So you might see a little bit of that, but I'd be amazed if we saw like a random 11 put out there. He doesn't strike me as that sort of Ian Holloway type of weirdo.
Fair enough. All right. Well, thanks for joining me, lads. Thanks for listening. And yeah, we can enjoy Saturday now. We can go there and just not. We can lose 10-0 when it doesn't matter, and we can serenade Marty for 90 minutes and
get dressed up,
wear
as a
face
banana.
Masks and banana suits. Yeah, I'm up for it. If anyone sees a banana knocking around, it's Dunk with a face mask on. Have I ruined it? Sorry, mate.
I didn't manage to get a Marty mask, so I had to get rid of your face.
No one wants to see that. Anyway, right. Lads, like I said, thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. You are staying up. You are.
You are.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.